These past few weeks, I've been really looking at the book of Ecclesiastes. I had the opportunity to speak about it several times over at Siler City, and some of the things that are in it have just not left my mind and continued to think on. And so I want to talk about just a few of those things today, and I don't have much time, so I will try to talk quickly, but not too quickly. When you look at the book of Ecclesiastes, you see Solomon speaking. And Solomon is talking about under the sun. Under the sun. He says it over and over and over, like 29 times or something like that throughout the book. And he is making everyone look at what is the purpose of life under the sun. He said, I looked to all of man's labor and I said, what's the point? You know, what is the point of all of this? Why is all this going on? And he looks at a lot of different things. He looks at architecture and agriculture and having servants and having music and having amusement and having all of these things. And he says, what of these things on this earth is going to provide me with fulfillment? What is going to do that? And he looks under the sun, and we know that under the sun there are good things on this earth, right? What did God say in the beginning? He created, and then he looked at it and said, it is good. On the earth there are many good things, and there's good things that we want. And then there's a lot of things that we're constantly told every day that we should want, right? You should want this better car, this better house, these better clothes, whatever it is. And the fact is that all of us want something that is on this earth. We want something on this earth. So all of you hopefully have a ping pong ball. And while I walk out here and get these, I want you to hold that ping pong ball and think about something that is in your life or that's not in your life that you want that's on this earth. Something that you have a desire for. And some of you know where I'm going with this. And humor me for a minute. And this is something that you have thought for at least a second, this would make me happy. I would like to have this thing, and if I could have that, then I would be happy, right? None of us are above that. It doesn't matter how spiritual and godly you are. If you're on this earth, you're still human, and those things get you. And you think, I would like to have that. If I had that, then I would be happy. So I want you to think about that, and then I'll just give you just a minute. Think about something, anything that you have thought, if I had that, then I would be happy. That new car, that job. If I could just not, my car could just not break down. Whatever it is. And then I want you to think about that with your ping pong ball and put it into this bucket. We'll put two on the side. There's a few more people. You can pass around. There we go. I can take y'all's if you want. There's only a couple over here. Did y'all get balls? No. Anyway, all right. You got one? You got some? Yeah. Unless you dropped it and lost it. Everybody got them all? All right. So all of these things symbolize things in our lives that we have been told or thought would provide us with fulfillment. That we thought if we could have that, it would provide us a level of happiness. Whether that was a new car or a new job, we think, you know, if I could just get to this point in my life, if I could just have the right kids, if I could just have this, if I could just have that, and we start to fill our lives up with these things that we want. And as we get them, there's always something else that we want and something else that we need. And Solomon in Ecclesiastes, he says, I'm going to find out what the point of all this is. And he goes to filling up his life with all of these things. And he gets all of the things that he could possibly ever want. And you think, if anybody could ever do it, it was Solomon. If you look at how much money he had, it was unfathomable. If you look at all of the different things that he possessed, you think if anybody could have found fulfillment in this earth, it definitely would have been Solomon. But you know what the Bible tells us, and Solomon tells us, that when he got to the end of all of this, he said, vanity of vanity, all is vanity. You see, he looked at all this and there's a word that's used like 38 times in the book of Ecclesiastes, and it's translated vanity. It's the Hebrew word hebel. And hebel is used in two ways in the book of Ecclesiastes, but the one I want to talk about right now is the paradox. It's saying it looks like it should be that way, but when I go to get there, it's not that way. For example, if a candle is blown out and there's smoke, you would say it looks like there's something that I could grab or that I could feel, but when you go to grab it, there's nothing there. It looks like when I fill my life with all of these things that I want, then it would be full, right? But look how much empty space is in there. There's so much empty space between all of these things. No matter how many of these things we pack into our lives, we're always still going to feel empty. And in Ecclesiastes chapter 2 and verse 17, it says something that is incredible to me. It says, "Therefore I hated life, because the work that is wrought under the sun is grievous to me. For all is vanity and vexation of spirit." A person that tries to find their fulfillment and hope and purpose in the things of this life, in those little things that we want, is going to hate their life. Those are some strong words he uses there. And you know what? You might start to think, well, I want those things. You know, it's interesting. I pointed out at the beginning that this earth is good. You know, and the Bible tells us that every good gift comes from the Father above, right? He gives us good gifts. These things are from Him. And it's not bad for you to have whatever this thing was. But the point I'm trying to make here is that good gifts make bad gods. Good gifts make bad gods. It's not a problem for this to be in your life. It's a problem when you make it the focus of your life. And it's what you're trying to find your purpose and your fulfillment in. Because if that's where you're trying to find your purpose and fulfillment, you will hate your life. And so, say, okay, well, you know, but I want these things, right? And I hear all of the time that these things are going to make me happy, and I don't know how to change that, right? We all fall into this trap all of the time. And it's like, okay, I recognize that my life looks something like this right now, and I want to change that, but what do? Try to recognize all of those things and pull them out one by one? No. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16. Galatians 5 and verse 16 says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." What I'm saying to you is that we have all of these things, and instead of focusing on all of them and worrying about them and trying to figure out how we can make our life be fulfilled with them, we need to go to the Word of God, and we need to go to the living water and have Him pour into us. And as He begins to pour into us, He's going to start to fill in all of those little cracks. And we're going to start to feel that fulfillment. But the fact is that sometimes it doesn't look like anything's changing right away. And it seems like nothing's really going to change at all. But as we continue to stay in the Word, and we continue to let Him pour into our lives and change us, things begin to shift. I tested this with the other jug. Hopefully it's going to work with this one. There it goes. Things begin to shift. And things begin to change. And as we begin to focus on God's Word and God's Word alone, those things start to fall away from being the purpose of our life. They're still there, but they're not seeming to be as important. They're falling away. And we're realizing that what we're focusing on now, what we're being filled with now, is no longer those things, but it's God. And it's Him, and He's filling us holy. But you know, sometimes we're like, yes, God's Word, this is going great. I want that. Wait, hold on. What about this? I want to hang on to that. Like, what if we just stay right here? This, you know, I'm filled a lot. Look at that. And maybe I can just have some of these things. Maybe I can just hold on to some of that. You know, there's another section of Ecclesiastes that really stuck with me. It's over in chapter 10 and verse 3. It says, "Yea, also, when he that is a fool walketh by the way, his wisdom faileth him, and he saith to everyone that he is a fool." Now I thought, what in the world? There's nobody that walks around saying, "Hi, I'm a fool. How are you? I'm a fool, everywhere going." That's what it says. It says they go around telling everybody that they're a fool. Well, you know what? I realized that wisdom starts in the heart. And we actually see that in Ecclesiastes as well. Right before that, in verse 2, it says that a wise man's heart is at his right, that his wisdom is at his right hand, that his heart is in the right place. And I realize that a fool cannot help but go around telling people that he's a fool. But he doesn't say it in his words. He says it in his actions and the way he lives his life, right? He has the need to say things that other people don't have the need to say. He has the need to do things that other people don't feel the need to do. And he goes around living his life in such a way that people see that he is a fool and he can't help it. And I thought, what if we as a church body, not as an organization, but as an organism, could be a people that cannot help but tell people that we're a Christian because we're full of it. We're so full of Christ. We're so full of those things that we don't go around telling people, "Hi, I'm a Christian. Hi, I'm a Christian." But we go around and in the way we walk, in the way we talk, in the way we act, in the way that we interact, we tell people, "I am a Christian." And that is visible and seen. But you know what? Sometimes we go around and we tell people, "I'm a Christian," because we're partly filled with God. But the fact is that when they look at our lives, when you look at that from afar off, which is more visible, the orange or the clear? The orange. They look at our lives and they judge us and they point out those things. And you know what the worry is? Not to think, "Oh no, all of these things in my life," but say, "I need more of Jesus and I need more of Him." And as He continues to fill us, as He continues to pour into us, and as we continue to allow the Spirit to take a hold of our lives, then all of those things that we used to think would provide us fulfillment, all of those commercials that we used to think, "Wow, I really wish that I had that," all of those things fall away. And we're left with Him alone. And we're walking around as people that can't help but let people know that we're a Christian, because that is what we're full of. And the great thing about it is that sometimes we'll start to get other things and they try to get into our lives. But the fact is, as long as we're full of God, as long as we're full of His Spirit, those things aren't going to stick. They can't get in there because we're full of something else. It's not focus on those things, but it's focusing on Him. And so the two things that I want to make sure that you leave thinking about tonight is, one, if you're relying on these things in your life to provide you fulfillment, they never will, and you will hate your life, because you will be left empty on the outside, and many people in the world will look at you and say, "Man, he's full. Look at all he's got." But you'll know on the inside that you're not, and that there is something missing. And that something is the Lord Jesus Christ. And the other thing is that we should be so full of Christ that we can't help but tell people we're a Christian, not in our words, also in that, but not specifically in our words, but everyone, because the way we act and the way we interact and the things that we do. And you know what? It's easy to get to a point in our lives, and then those things, we let other things get in the way. And before long, if we let too much of that out, there's going to be space for other things. We need to constantly focus on God and His Word. And He says that He will be those things for us, that He will provide us that fulfillment. It doesn't mean it's going to be happy. It doesn't mean it's going to be easy. Far from it. But it does mean that His ways are higher than our ways, and His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And trust me, if earthly fathers know how to give their children good gifts, how much more the Heavenly Father? So let's be people that are willing to let all of these focuses of our lives fall away, that we would stop finding our fulfillment in things of this earth. We would start studying God's Word, pouring into it, spending time in prayer, and be people that when people look at us, they know that we are a Christian. Let's pray. Lord, thank You so much for this day. Thank You for the book of Ecclesiastes. I thank You for Your Word and how You have given us this wisdom, Lord, through You and through this man Solomon. Lord, I ask that You would help each and every one of us here not to let even one thing come into our lives that takes our focus away from You. Lord, that we would be wholeheartedly focused on You. Lord, as we wonder how we can take care of these problems in our lives and these things that we're focused on and tempted by on a regular basis, Lord, that we would focus on You and that You would help us and You would take care of those things, because when we're filled with You, we can't be filled with anything else. And Lord, if we're filled with You, when we're bumped, You are what will come out. And that as we walk around in this world, we will not be able to help but let everyone around us know that we serve You. And that all of those other things that seem to matter, we realize that they are vanity. They are empty in the end. Lord, help us to serve You in Your Son's name. Amen.